Kevin Laudner has been associated with the Texas Rangers for more than a decade. His work has spread to the Lone Star State, where he is director of research for the Texas Metroplex Institute for Sports Medicine and Orthopedics in Arlington, Texas. Part of his job is overseeing the collection and analysis of data from the Center for Sport and Motion Analysis Laboratory. Kevin Laudner is also a professor and assistant dean for Illinois State University in the area of kinesiology. He joins us to talk about his work in helping prevent baseball injuries. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me here.
So how did you build this relationship with the Texas Rangers?
It started at a conference. It was specifically for baseball-related injuries, and it had a lot of the medical staffs for professional baseball were there, and I went there, you know, hoping that I could meet with some different people and potentially create a relationship. And you know, I had just started at ISU at the time, so I was thinking, you know, something local like the White Sox, the Cubs, or the Cardinals. And I struck up a conversation with some of the medical staff of the Texas Rangers, and they liked some of the work that I had done. And they had just hired a new team orthopedist who was really into research as well. And they asked if I could, if they could share some of this information with the orthopedist. And I was more than willing to do that. And I don't know, maybe a month or two later, the orthopedist gave me a call at my office and talked to me a little bit about my research and what I wanted to do, and we kind of hit it off from there. We had very similar philosophies on preventing and treating injuries, and that's when you know, he invited me to come down to spring training and take some measurements, and then it just kind of grew from there.
And I want to get to the particulars of how to prevent injuries and how you help people who have been injured. But first of all, you're doing a lot of work with data and research. Talk a little bit about how this has changed since that time when you first entered into this business.
You know, over the past several years, we have really started to do a ton of research and examinations on things like the hip, the low back, and now we're doing a lot with the upper back as well, which, you know, really to date, not many people have looked at all.
I've heard over the years that throwing overhand is not a natural motion, that the natural motion is to throw underhand. And I never really, I guess being a lifetime baseball fan myself, I never really understood that concept. Can you explain that to me a little bit?
Well, yeah, I would disagree with that. I would say neither
really?
Of them are natural. I mean, the throwing motion is just such a violent motion, whether it's underhand or overhand. It really is not natural at all. Now, one of the misconceptions is that underhand softball pitchers don't have the problems because it's underhand. It doesn't put the stress.
And you see softball pitchers pitch inning after inning and day after day.
But they have just as many problems. They're different, but they're putting just as much stress on different structures of the shoulder. So it's, I don't think there's not nearly as much research out there. So it's not getting the attention that it needs, but they have just as many problems as the overhead pitchers. It's just in different areas.
So what's the key to preventing arm injuries?
I don't think you can, sad to say. And there's a famous orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Job, who was the one that invented I shouldn't say he didn't invent Tommy John, but he made it famous when he did it on Tommy John, the famous elbow surgery. And he said, you can't prevent these injuries. We can only hope to prolong their careers. And he described it as, you know, there's only so many bullets in the gun. And he was talking about throws. And what we try and do is we try and add a couple more bullets to the chamber and you know, prevent the injuries from occurring or hopefully decrease the severity of those injuries. But it's such an unnatural motion that if you do it long enough, eventually it'll catch up to you. And this is really in the normal population as well. It doesn't throw, you know, 200 pitches a day. Everything we do is with our arms, and our shoulders are constantly moving, and wear and tear is going to happen whether you're an overhead athlete or not. So shoulder injuries are kind of inevitable. Some people can live with them. Some people, you know, need surgery, but it's going to happen, especially in somebody like a baseball player when they put so much stress and do it so many times. They just get a lot more wear and tear at a much younger age than most people, unfortunately.
How do you explain the fact that so many pitchers years ago, and I'm talking decades ago, even back into the 40s and 30s and before that, pitchers pitched so many more innings and so many more games per season? I guess I'm talking up more at the elite level. And now you have this managing of pitch counts and things like that. Were people getting hurt back then? We just didn't know about it, or what?
Well, I think to some extent there were more injuries that we didn't know about. There were things that those players just accepted okay, my arm's going to go numb after I throw. I get it, but the sensation's going to come back the next day. And, you know, now we know that that's doing a lot of damage, and eventually it can become permanent. So, you know, we try and rest those players. So I think there were a lot more injuries that went unrecognized back in that day. But also, you know, today's athletes, they're bigger and stronger, and they're and you know, there's no data to support this because we didn't have any testing back then, but they're probably creating a lot more force than some of those earlier pitchers were, and maybe doing more harm. And then the other thing, which I think is probably one of the key things, is, you know, a lot of players these days, they've played baseball their whole life, and that's about it. You know, they start playing baseball at a very young age, and now the goal is to play year-round because you want to make the major leagues by the time you're 18 or 19.
And even pitch year-round.
Yeah, and pitch year-round. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whereas, you know, even 10 years ago or maybe 20 years ago, you know, you played three sports a year. You played baseball, but then you also played soccer, basketball, and you gave your limbs, you know, time to rest. And these days, you know, with the traveling teams and even, you know, even if you're playing in cold weather environments like Chicago, they've got, you know, big baseball domes everywhere you go, and you can play year round. You know, you start to specialize as a pitcher at a very young age, and that's tough. You know, a lot of baseball teams, when they draft pitchers, they draft position players. They'll draft a shortstop that's got a really good arm, but they do that specifically because they know, all right, this kid hasn't been throwing, you know, he hasn't been pitching, so his arm's probably pretty fresh, but he's got a great arm, and we can, you know, coach him to get good mechanics and make him into a pitcher.
More bullets in the arsenal.
Exactly, more bullets in the gun. So, you know, but these younger players that start at a very young age and are playing year-round, it is really tough to be able to maintain that. And some people can, but I don't think that's nearly as common as the ones that, you know, then have the Tommy John surgery. I mean, look at the number of young kids, you know, 13, 14, that are having Tommy John surgery now. Compared to 10 years ago, the numbers have skyrocketed, and we're smarter about it. There's prevention programs. We're better at diagnosing those, but they're just throwing so much at such a young age, we can't keep up with it.
In fact, I think there's a mentality out there somewhere, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, that there seems to be some sort of preventative nature with Tommy John surgery, that you can actually go in to someone who maybe hasn't experienced a lot of trouble, have that surgery correct, you know, get the ligament stronger, and you'll be better off if you have this type of surgery from a preventative standpoint than you do from a corrective standpoint. Now, that sounds pretty flawed to me, but it sounds to me like there are some people who are buying into that. Is that actually happening?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. I was talking to a surgeon once, and he does a lot of these, and he says that he has parents that come to him and say, you know, preventatively, we'd like our son, you know, to have this surgery. And I don't know of any doctors that actually do that. I mean, it's a great surgery. They make that, like, the graft that they use is very strong. But
yeah, for those who don't know, just briefly describe Tommy John surgery. It's taking a ligament from one elbow or somewhere else on the body and putting it in your throwing elbow, right?
Yeah, so it's very similar to what they do with the ACL and the knee, but they take a graft from somewhere else on the body. A lot of times it's from a tendon in the forearm. And then they you know, drill a couple holes in the elbow, and they weave it through in a kind of a figure eight pattern, and they make a new ligament. And they can make it really strong. They can make it really tight. But you go through a lot of trauma with that. There's a lot of damage that occurs to the nerve in that area. It's called the ulnar nerve. When you bang your elbow on the desk and you get that numbing sensation, that's the ulnar nerve. So there's a ton of damage that comes along with that. You know, to have people wanting to get this preventative as a preventative technique, it blows my mind. We are getting better at the rehab for it, and we are seeing more success, but it's still, I think the last time I looked, it's about an 85% success rate to return to play. But, you know, some players don't. Some players return, but they're never at that same level. They can't, you know, they don't have the same motion. They can't reach the same velocity, ball velocity. So there's a lot of problems with it. But I would not recommend getting that surgery before it's necessary. There's a lot of other ways to prevent that injury from occurring, and a preventive surgery, I don't think is one of them.
You're a shoulder guy now, and we've been talking about Tommy John, how that helps the elbow and that. And it seems like, for whatever reasons, shoulder injuries are more problematic when it comes to surgical repair. The chances of coming back are much, much less than if you have that Tommy John or some other elbow repair. Is there something on the horizon for shoulders that's comparable to a Tommy John?
No, and it's not the surgery's fault. You know, the elbow is inherently a very, very stable joint. So when you do the surgery, there's a lot of, you know, the ligament's been damaged, but there's a lot of other stability there. There's stability with the muscles and the capsules, and the bones themselves create a ton of stability, which help that repair. In the shoulder, you don't have that luxury. You know, the reason why we can reach in so many different angles and, you know, put a coat on and put our seatbelt on is because our shoulders are free to move in a lot of different directions, which we need, but they do that at the expense of stability. So when you do have a surgery, even though you tighten up that structure, inherently the shoulder is not a stable joint at all. It is the most unstable joint we have. So it is really hard to get that stability back when you're coming back from a surgery, because it just naturally, inherently does not have that stability to begin with. So once there is damage, you know, it's kind of a downward spiral from there.
It's a much bigger joint, a larger part of the body, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
There seems to be an increase in the past 5 to 7 years, I guess you could say. And again, I'm talking about major league elite level of pitchers who throw much harder. More pitchers seem to throw harder. It seems if you aren't in the upper 90s on a radar gun, then you're not much of a prospect. What is behind all of this hard throwing?
You know, everybody's looking for the edge, that advantage they can get. And batters are stronger. They can get that bat around at a much quicker pace, and they can wait a little bit longer before they swing. And on the other side of that, so what they want to see is they want to see pitchers that can throw a little bit harder and make it tougher for those stronger batters. So they kind of go hand in hand. But as sports grows and the players are doing more conditioning programs and getting faster, quicker, stronger, faster reaction times, the same goes for the pitchers.
So as someone who's done a lot of work on the research and development end of this whole aspect of baseball pitching, what is the next big breakthrough or the next thing that's going to really help pitchers or ball players at all, for that matter, when it comes to staying healthy and being a good, solid player?
Yeah, and this may sound obvious, but I think one of the best things that have come out in the last few years is these prevention programs. You know, it used to be, I don't think many teams were doing them, or they didn't have a very organized plan for it. And now there are specific exercises that really everybody's using to try and prevent these. And we're seeing good results. We're seeing the number of injuries go down. But there are some specific plans for the shoulder. And again, on the other side of that, there are things that we're doing specifically at other joints to try and take the pressure off of the shoulder. So we're doing a lot more things like hip strengthening and stretching.
Is it common for you to come across a pitcher, probably more of a younger pitcher, and you look at them, their delivery, the way they've trained or whatever, and you say, you know, you're going to get hurt?
Oh, yeah.
You just got to change because you're going to get hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll come in and, you know, they'll start the prevention program. And it's a very light program because, you know, they'll do it either before they throw or after they throw. So it's not like they're lifting heavy weights, but sometimes these younger pitchers will start the prevention program and it's a, you know, they're using a really light TheraBand or something like that, and they can't finish, you know, 10 repetitions because they're using muscles they've never used before, and they're so weak in those areas those are the time bombs that you're just waiting. You're surprised they made it that long, but yeah, they're just getting out of high school. So if they continue this, eventually you would suspect that's going to catch up to them.
There's an increase in more international players at all positions, including pitcher. Are you learning anything from people who come over from other countries as far as their pitching motion, their way they train, things like that?
Yeah, we haven't seen a ton of difference right now. One of the things, and we haven't done any really research. This is kind of all anecdotal, things we've seen in the clinic, but we're seeing some, like the Dominican players, we see a lot of Dominican pitchers, and we've seen a lot that they, just on paper, we see that they have more range of motion. So they seem to be a little bit more flexible. Don't know if that's actually true or not. You know, never really statistically looked at it. Don't know the exact reason for it. They play at a very young age. You know, baseball is a huge sport down there, and it's kind of the big ticket for them now. So they start playing at a young age and play year round. And maybe that lends to why they have such better range of motion. But I don't know if we've really seen much difference in their motions. You know, a lot of times they're pretty raw, just like, you know, a lot of high school players when they're coming out. But you know, you can work out some of those flaw with coaching. So not a huge difference in the mechanics, but probably one of the biggest things is just their flexibility seems to be a little bit greater for whatever reason.
Kevin Laudner is an ISU kinesiology professor and assistant dean whose work with professional baseball pitchers has helped reduce or prevent serious arm injuries. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I'm Willis Kern.